Dearest Podcast, I am your host once again, the Shadow Alchemist, and with me this week, as always, is the Buttered Biscuits.
What's up, guys?
And of course, our leader in charge, Phantom Recon.
Thank you. I'm not a leader. We're all in this together. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Now, anyways, like lots of things have been happening lately for us. I guess not even personally, gaming wise. Just wondering, what games have y'all been playing lately?
Well, I've been playing some games on my brand new Xbox Series X.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah, I finally joined the next gen generation. Honestly, I don't have a 4K. I'll tell you guys right now, I don't have a 4K television. However, the Xbox Series X upscales, like, well, not really upscales. I can't really say that. No, it just makes everything better. Like, literally, even though I'm still playing at 1080p, like, the games have run smoother. Like we were playing Sea of Thieves the other night, and on my original Xbox, yeah, you know, it was nice. It looked good and everything. But I put it on the Series X. The refresh rate is, like, super fast. The waters are just pure. Like, just you can just it just looks amazing. Like, everything pops. I was playing Halo. Everything looks cool. It's like, I'm just in love with this damn thing. Now, I did buy this at a bundle. Like, right now, GameStop's doing this weird-ass bundle.
That's the only one to buy on lately.
Yeah. It's a weird bundle. It's a system. You get a $50 gift card at GameStop. And then you get Far Cry 6, NBA 2K22, and Call of Duty Vanguard.
Like the NBA one, I mean, I guess that's more of a shovelware these days. But the other ones seem to be okay, I guess.
Vanguard. I mean, we talked about Vanguard last week, and also in our articles, if you haven't checked them out on unsendgamers.com.
Yeah, at least I guess you did pay for it technically, but at least, you know, it came with the console, I guess, so you kind of have to play it now.
Yeah. I mean, at least I get zombies, I guess.
Nah.
No, but other than that, I really haven't got to play them yet. While I've been kind of ticking around with the Xbox, I haven't really sat down and actually played the game I'm looking forward to playing on, because I'm going to stream it. I'm going to be streaming Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. My girlfriend Brie Witch bought it for me for Christmas, and I've been saving it for just a moment to play it. I'm just trying to get my gaming station all situated. I almost have it completely set up. Then I can start streaming again. But yeah, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the first real game I sit down and just play and stream. So it's going to be really fun. But so far, this is a really cool system. I really love it. It was definitely worth the wait.
Nice. What about you, Rico? What have you been playing lately?
Well, I've already beat Mega Man 6. And, you know, if you follow us on Instagram, I've been posting up every time I've been beating a Mega Man game. And I've beaten Mega Man 6, and I've beaten 1 through 6, and I'm moving on to 7 and I'm on my arcade. But the buttons are really messing me up, because I'm so used to just playing with two buttons, because it's following the same controls on the NES, which is like, yeah, you know, AB. And now on the Mega Man 7, or at least on my arcade, on Super NES, the buttons are kind of different where they're backwards. And it's really throwing me off. Sorry?
It's like, I was about to ask, was that one on the Super Nintendo? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, or I mean, at least that's where it shows up on my arcade. Okay. It's 1 through 6 on NES, and then it jumps to 7 on NES, but then that's it. I don't see 8 or 9, but I think those are on PlayStation. Could be wrong.
They were.
Okay. And then, because then after that, they start the X series, which I would do that once I beat 7. But because of that, I went ahead and ordered a part and piece to plug in a controller. So that way I can play on a controller than on my joystick and buttons on my arcade. Luckily, you know, shout out to Johnny Five Arcade out there. He gave me the idea of doing it, and he also told me that I could use my old PlayStation 3 controller as a controller to play it. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. The only thing though is, like, my PS3 controller, I still have it, but it doesn't work anymore.
Oh man.
But I was able to, you know, open it up, clean it up, and I think I just need a new battery. So I ordered a new battery. Should get here tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I've just been playing the Mega Man game, and I'm still gonna continue to play it. And I'm like, after this, once I beat the X games, like, I might have to just buy the other games, because I'm really into Mega Man now. Like, I went to, it's a Heroes and Fantasy store here in my town. They sell games and toys and stuff, and I was really, really looking for, like, a Mega Man sculpture or statue, just like, because I guess for me personally, I like to reward myself after beating a game.
Awesome.
Like, when I beat Spider-Man, I bought a Funko Spider-Man Miles Morales. I also bought another one for Ivor, for Valhalla. So I kind of just been, like, they're kind of my own personal trophies for, like, beating a game.
I got you.
And since I beat, like, 6 or 7 Mega Man games, like, the first one, I made a poster, and it's pretty cool. I like it. I actually have it hung up on my wall now. But now I want to buy, like, a Mega Man sculpture. Like, I know it's going to be pricey, but I think I deserve it. So we'll see how that goes.
That's Mega Man. See, that's what's up.
Well, there's actually several Mega Man statues I'm looking at right now on Big Bad Toy Store. Now that you brought that up, I was like, that might be, well, depending on what your price range is. I'll send you the link, and you can check them out. This way you can get one and show it off.
Yeah, I send it on Discord, and I click it on there. Yeah, definitely.
No problem. Also, you also have also a couple more Mega Man games to play. If you didn't know, you have Mega Man 9 and 10, as well as Mega Man 11 left, which you can get Mega Man 11 on Switch and PlayStation and all that stuff.
Yeah, like 9 and 10 were released on PS3 originally, but mm-hmm. they're available on PS4 anyways, and so is Mega Man 11.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the Mega Man Anniversary Collection, and you can get Volume 2, and you'll get mm-hmm. all those, except for 11. That was released separately.
Oh, and just speaking of Mega Man, that's going to be my next post or article that I'm going to post up on our website. It's just my experience of going through the Mega Man games and like how it's evolved from Mega Man 1, going from like a blaster, and then going on to, you know, where you meet Rush, his dog, the Mega Blaster, where you can charge up his blaster, and where it continues on, where it evolves. I'm still waiting, and maybe it's 7, because like I only played 7 for like a little bit, and I just got frustrated with the buttons, so I stopped. But I know in one of the Mega Mans, he starts to be able to, I guess, double jump or like kind of jump off walls. I know, but I don't know which Mega Man that was. But I haven't seen it in Mega Man 1 through 7, but I'm waiting for that one.
I think it's an 8. I've been trying to beat 8 for a while. I've just given up on it because it's freaking hard.
Oh, nice! I like a challenge. Oh, well, I do know between 1 and 6. Number 1 to me, it was still the hardest one. Like beating the bosses was fun. Like I personally felt like the levels were way harder than fighting the bosses. But once I got to Dr. Wily's stages, his bosses were hard. But then, like, after that, like, it seemed more fun to play through the game and levels. Like, they weren't as difficult. Again, my opinion, because I remember when I played Mega Man 1, and it could have been good because, you know, my first time playing Mega Man, and it's been a long time. But I remember playing Mega Man 1, I was having a hard time just getting past like the first 2 minutes of a level. Yep. And so yeah, it is frustrating, but I enjoy when I beat it. And I know my buddy Johnny5, he's been playing Mega Man 3, and I think he kind of stopped too, because he's fighting the Yellow Eye Demon right now and having a hard time with it. So,
and I mean, don't bring up that boss. I hate that boss. I think that's one of the worst bosses I've ever fought in my entire video game career is that damn demon. Oh, I hate it.
I hate him too. I hate him too. Like, and you know what? I've watched YouTube videos where people have gone through it like untouched. I don't know how you do it. I'm over here trying to do it. I just want to say that just use energy canisters, John, because like I had to use like maybe 2 of them to beat him. And if you don't know what energy canisters are, It's those blue things with the E on it. So when you use it, it just revives your health back up to full health. And so that's how I beat it. And that's kind of my strategy to beating these Mega Man games, was like always trying to find those energy canisters, but always saving them until I come across a boss where like I know I'm having a hard time with it.
Now you have to, for especially the old school games. They just seem to be harder, but I mean, they were short too.
But real quick, before we move on, just to add on to the Mega Man thing, Mega Man 1, every last one of those damn stages were cheap, so it's kind of made me laugh. I was over here chuckling when you said that you were having trouble with them. I was like, yeah, Mega Man 1 was notoriously hard. especially Iceman stage was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But you got through it. That's what's important.
I did, and like I said, moving on to Mega Man 7, and I can't wait to get my, I already ordered the pieces, so hopefully when I get here, I'll put it together, and I might even post it, like, how I'm putting it together. And I even opened up my PlayStation 3 controller to clean it, so.
See, and do a DIY.
Yeah. Do it. But speaking of PlayStation, I know Sony, or at least James, you mentioned that Sony's going to have something coming up.
Yeah, they've booked a day. I don't remember exactly what day it is. It's kind of all over the place right now, from what I'm hearing, of when their next State of the Play is. Which, if you don't know what State of Play is, it's the equivalent to the Nintendo Directs that Nintendo does, where PlayStation kind of tells you, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what's coming out, blah blah blah. Because apparently they have something big they're about to announce. Because in the UK, they've decided to pull the PlayStation Now cards. Apparently, they've had gift cards. I didn't know they had these gift cards. I've only seen the PlayStation Plus ones and the gift cards that you can buy. Yeah. I didn't know they had PlayStation Now cards.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. I've never seen them. I've never
they look exactly like the gift cards, except they say PS Now.
What it is. It's probably the font was just so, was so, you know, like the gift card. It just blended in.
Yeah, I had to do a double take whenever I used to, you know, go to a store and buy stuff like that.
Before COVID.
Yeah.
So the UK, they're pulling these. They've started pulling them, and they're hoping to get them by the end of January all pulled in, which begs the question, what are they doing? Could be this Project Spartacus they've been teasing or working on. Supposed to replace PlayStation Now. But there's also talk about them supposedly finally fixing their backwards compatibility issue they've never been able to do. Now, whether or not they charge you for it is going to be up to debate.
Yeah, from what I read about, I guess, because obviously they're aiming towards being a competitor against Game Pass, Game Pass.
Yeah.
And, like, as far as what I understand, there's going to be three tiers for it. There's going to be, like, the standard, like, PlayStation Plus, like, just Plus.
Yeah.
And then Plus, like PlayStation Plus and PS1 and PS2 games, I believe. And then the third tier is all of that plus all the PS3 games. I'm not sure if it's going to be all the games that have been released on all these platforms, or if it's going to be like a select few at first, and then little by little they'll start releasing them.
I'd say by license, I think it'll be just a small few until they get more licensing, because I mean, let's face it, we live in the era now of if we can remaster a game, let's remaster a game and put it back out there for people to rebuy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and say that I think it's going to be a small thing. I know for sure we're probably going to get the old Ratchet and Clanks. We're going to get the Infamous games. We'll get, you know, some of those games back again.
First party games.
Yeah, for sure. However, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't like the idea of those three tiers. Like, why?
No one does. No one likes it. I mean, you can just have PlayStation Plus and then add, like, well, how much is Game Pass? Like $15, right?
Yeah, it's $15 a month, and you get live and EA access and Ubisoft when they come out later this month.
Yeah, you and wouldn't hear anybody. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Oh,
no,
keep going.
There you go. No, it's, and then not only that, you also get the added benefit of Xbox Game Pass for PC. So you, that's what, like, what that's like four or five different services all in one.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, I know PlayStation Now has a PC servers, but there is like a second delay, and it kind of sucks. So, hopefully they can fix that with this. But on top of that, I mean, I don't think you'll hear anybody complaining about $15 a month if they have access to, especially PS1 games, PS1 and PS2 games that you just can't find anymore.
Exactly.
And like, if you have access to all those, like with the $15 price tag a month, I mean, I'd do it like in a heartbeat. Like, right now I'm enjoying Game Pass. So doing the same thing on PlayStation just seems logical. But to have a 3-tier system is a little weird.
Yeah, it's like you're alienating us. But now that, from what I hear, there's not even a free one. There's not even a free option. It's either like you get PlayStation Plus for this much, you get, you know, the second tier and then gold tier, you know? I'm like, why?
Unless they drop the price of Plus to like $5 a month. Like, then the second tier is $10 a month and the third tier is $15 a month.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll wait until next month. So, I mean, but at the same time, them going to the backwards compatibility and stuff like that, yeah, that's
finally.
That's kind of cool. They're finally doing it. I know they've had trouble doing it. I don't know how, why they've had trouble doing it.
They did it before.
Exactly.
PS3, damn it.
I was like, oh, what happened?
They didn't want to do it anymore. Like, that's really what it came down to, because when the PS3 first released, it was basically having a PS2 inside the PS3.
Yeah.
Did you mention, I guess, when this is going to happen?
The state of play is sometime next month.
Yeah, February 2022. They don't have like a specific date, just a month.
Got it.
They usually announce those like a week out beforehand.
Yes, I mean, hopefully they can get something going, but I think the thing most people are gonna be looking at is like a good library and like day one releases, like the way Game Pass has.
Now, while that's while backwards compatibility is a great thing right now, Sony's also taking it like two steps backwards. Because, well, keep in mind, it's so hard to find a PS5 right now, guys. It's hard. That chip shortage is really affecting everything.
No, it's easy. You just got to pay $3,000 for it.
Yeah, pay $3,000 for a guide in alley. You might get a box with an iron in it.
Speaking of that, with the shortages, I'm curious to how Sony is gonna with this, because especially with this year coming out, I mean, I think this year a lot of, like, I think supposedly, quote unquote, PlayStation 5 exclusive games are supposed to be coming out for PlayStation 5, but there's still a shortage of PlayStation 5s. I'm wondering if maybe they might just make the games that are supposed to be exclusive to PS5. Available for the PlayStation 4 too, because of the shortages.
That's what. It's funny you mentioned that actually, because that's what I was getting to is Sony to literally beat the demand for PS5s through the chip shortage. They've decided to make more PS4s.
Yeah.
Well, then just... I mean that kind of I just want to say like that kind of like adds more evidence that it could be going that direction to what I just said. I mean, I have no confirmation on that. That's just my guess, because I mean, look, there's games coming out I want to play, but it's going to suck that I won't be able to play some of these games. And I'd be happy to pay the pre-order price or when it first comes out, but I don't have a PlayStation 5. And I mean, if I don't have it, I'm not going to buy it. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that's the only thing I can really see that'd be effective is like, it's like, if you're going to really make more PS4s, that's the, I think someone added it up. I think over the year, that'd be another million units out there.
Yeah.
But you have certain games that I don't know anything after God of War and Horizon that's going to be on both systems. That's what has me a little confused is you're starting to push toward PS5 exclusively, but more last-gen systems?
I think it's going to be one of those decisions that's going to be like, well, you're shit out of luck. Because, I mean, I think, that's their business decision now. Like, that's not just Sony. That's, like, all these developers. They're already developing these games just for next-gen. And to ask them to do it for PS4, it's going to cost a lot more money to do that. And it's going to delay the game even further.
There it is. Yeah, like that was my next thought. After you just said that, it was like, well, the other option would be to just delay it, not to work on it longer, simply because they, you know, when they release this, only a small amount of people are gonna be able to buy it. When, like, I know there's a huge volume of fans out there who want to buy some of these games, but may not buy it because they don't have the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I like me personally, I know two people that have a PS5, but all of us want one.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Xbox has had a certain thing in place because they knew their systems is selling out everywhere. It's hard to get a hold of their one, so they've decided a backup plan by using xCloud to help to allow you to actually stream via the cloud Series X games onto your old system. So, like, if you have the series, if you have the, you know, the, say the old Xbox Ones, you can still play the new games that are coming out. Of course, you won't have your 4K features or anything, or like, you know, the 120 frames per second. You know, you'll at least be able to play the games, though. You'll play them at like whatever, like what, 1080p and probably 60 frames, which it's not bad. I mean, we spent a whole generation on that.
I mean, that's probably what they're going to be doing. I guess maybe that's what Sony's going to be announcing at State of Play, because it's supposed to be like a big show at this one. And maybe that might be one of the things that they're going to have to do is have like a cloud-based system in place for people who don't have a PS5 but want to buy these games.
Well, Sony's been working with Xbox. Well, has been working with Microsoft on using cloud technology. Maybe this is what they've been working toward. I don't know.
Hopefully, because I mean, like it'll. This sounds bad, but I feel like they shouldn't. Like right now, they're just developing on PS5 now, which is where they should be. I don't think they need to be developing any more games on PS4 anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, I don't have a PS5, I only have a PS4. I think that's where they should just go from here on out. Because last year and the year before, they ran into so many issues doing a cross-gen thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to alleviate that and to just get rid of all those bugs, just, you know, focus on one generation now.
I agree completely. Yeah, I mean, there comes a point where you have to cut the cord and say goodbye to that last generation. It's time to upgrade. I mean, you don't see Nintendo still making like 8-bit Nintendo games for people who didn't want to jump up to now, you know?
Yeah.
You got to let it go.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds bad, but, and like, I know that's going to piss off a lot of people who don't have a next gen console, but I feel like that's where development needs to go to now. It's next gen. They should just focus on next gen and stop worrying about last gen now.
Because we're in year two of the next generation? Or year
one?
Three.
Year three. Okay. Year three now.
No, I thought that came out
two?
In it's two.
Okay, it's two. Well, yeah.
Still, but it's like right now is about the good time for it to say goodbye to that last generation. There's no reason to stick with it. I mean, we're all moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, as a business decision, like that's where you want to focus all your investment into is next gen now. Because I mean, like last year was a big like step back for a lot of development. Like just doing both systems just made a lot more problems.
Yeah, and COVID didn't help. So, I mean, last year was more of like a lenient period of how do we live? How do we build? How do we strengthen and all that stuff? But now we're in a new frontier. By now, the system's been out for over a year. I think shift the focus and save some money and leave that other system behind.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully there is that cloud-based thing, because that does seem like a great idea for people who don't have a next-gen console but are willing to shell out a next-gen price for a game that they want to play.
Exactly. That'd be cool.
I guess, speaking on schedules, the PS5 came out November 12th of 2020. And I guess focusing on the term delay, but taking it a step further with the word cancellation, I don't even know if we touched on this last week, if we touched on it at all, was the news about E3 being canceled again.
It's
going to be a digital thing now again. And I think this is, what, the third in a row, right?
Yes.
It's been canceled?
I believe ESA said this is the third time. Now they don't even know if they're going to be able to do the damn thing ever again, just because it's cost so much money just to keep canceling it.
So like that was my thought was, like, I know they have it at E3, and I think they have it in San Diego or LA, somewhere in California.
Los Angeles.
I wonder why don't they just move it to another country? Because other countries play video games, like Canada, or I mean, I don't know how Europe's doing, but so some other country where like COVID is not as bad, or if at best they have it under control, and just have the event over there.
I mean, those things always. Go ahead.
I just want to say, like, well, why does it need to happen in LA? Why can't it just move, like, to another city?
Well, one, it's a contract with the city, and other countries have their red program. But Jose's always had this one plan. I've always agreed with him. We've talked about this for, what, going on 10 years now, I think it is. Jose, you had this great plan for E3 to evolve. And it would be more of a, I think it would be more of a lucrative thing. It might be a little more expensive to pull it off. But you said to have it all digital, but have it streamed to the actual customer. To where, yeah, we could play the demos. We get to sit to the press conference. Well, we can sit to the press conference anyways, but we get to see the demos. We get to play those demos. And we get to get the feedback to the developers.
Yeah, and I think now would be the perfect time to do something like that, especially since they've been having all these cancellations pretty consistently now. And if things get better, it's not like what Rico was saying, they can just open it up like full force it, like the next time that they can. Like at the very least, they might be able to do it for like just press only.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be like, you know, another show where we have nothing to see until it's reported on.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing is, I don't think it should be. Oh, sorry, I guess. It's like, I don't think it should be just for the press and content creators. I think it should be for just the average consumer who is willing to check out these games that are interested in what's coming out in the next year. We're the ones who are going to be able to put the money down. The content creators and the YouTubers in the press, they're going to get their free copy for reviews purposes. What about the actual people that are paying the 70, 80 bucks right now to play these new games?
There's only been two times that I can recall that the consumer actually got a playable demo that was at E3, like that day, and they were well received. So I don't see why they just don't do it. Like one of them being the PT demo, which was incredible. And the second was the teaser for Resident Evil Biohazard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Like that's all we've ever gotten from E3.
I guess now I want to stay on topic on this because this is a good topic. And actually, your idea, Nando, I like it. And it sounds logical and sound. I mean, because they already release demos already. Why not release demos right now for an E3 event? And if, you know, obviously, you know, it could probably like crash servers or stuff because so many people want to jump on. Maybe have a select few people of regular gamers, just regular gamers. Nobody who's a huge YouTube content creator or anything like that. And because James, you bring up a good point. Like, these are the people that are going to be paying money for it, or and they can give you honest feedback. Because I feel like when you give a free game to a content creator or just anybody, so and so with a million subscribers, here's a free game, review it for us. You know, I still feel like even though I know they're trying to be honest, I still feel like something in them. It's still going to say a lot of good things about it rather than being like just straight blunt about it. And it brings me to a question to y'all guys, you know, like say like we do get a game, say, I don't know, God of War reaches out like, hey, Unsung Gamers, we want to try to review our game. And I guess my response to it would be like, okay, I would like to do it. But I would like to do a demo. I don't want the game for free. I'd rather buy it because that shows you that I liked it and I'm giving you my money because I enjoy it. And I'd rather do that because I feel like if they give me the game, like I feel like a lot of people, like I'm sure there's people who still be straight honest, but the majority of people are still gonna be like, well, I kind of owe them this favor. You know,
kind of thing.
I guess, what do y'all think?
Me personally, if they ever sent me a free game, I'd be like, I'm gonna review this honestly, right? I'm gonna give you an Adam Sessler level review, and it may not be pretty, and it may be nice. I don't know.
I would be okay with getting a free game if it's not one of those dumbass embargo things where you can only say positive things about the game and nothing negative. Yeah. I would never take a game that has that restriction on it.
I'll respect a timing embargo because everybody has to. It's like a media thing. You can't post your reviews for a certain time, but a content embargo, I won't do one. I agree.
Yeah, like, I mean, if your game is shit, I'm going to say that it's shit. And if it's great, it's great. And like, yeah, I'll probably even buy it and then like, you know, select somebody from our community to just give it to them for free because I liked it so much.
Ah,
that's a really cool idea. I like that.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah, I really like that idea, because even when I hear from a content creator or somebody who's reviewed it that they say is a quote unquote average gamer, I mean, you look at them or you check their Instagram or whatever, and they have like 100 or a million followers. And to me, it makes me think like maybe there's more behind the scenes. Like, hey, here's a little extra money. Just say some nice things. And I don't know, I'd rather just I'll play it, but let me just play like a demo version of it, because I don't want the whole thing. Let me just try it out, and if I like it, I mean, I'll buy it. But like right now, like Fails God of War, I mean, I'm gonna buy it because I'm a God of War fan. But if it's like some new game, that Elden Ring, I never heard of. Like that game would be an example. Like I never heard of it. I hear good things about it. Let me try it out. If I like it, I'll buy it. I mean, it's something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as long as they don't like try to put a restriction on like the game itself, like you can't talk trash about it, then I suppose it'll be all right.
Yeah, and I guess I hope E3, because I do miss, like, I mean, I've always wanted to go to one, and I would still like to go to one. I hope, you know, if they can't, if that happens because they're in a contract with like LA, then maybe they should auction off that contract or whatever and be like, hey, Atlanta or Toronto, France, yeah. Paris, hey, we're going to auction off this contract. We got to host E3, you know, and then that way they get some money. But I mean, I don't even know if that's an option, but it's an idea, because like I miss seeing, you know, the E3, the people coming up, the crowd getting excited about, you know, some new game that comes out. I miss that, and it's been 3 years. Like, man,
yeah. I mean, I can see them doing something like that, kind of like the Olympics, like auction it off, like the next event, or I guess more like Super Bowl, because that's a yearly thing. Like auction that kind of event off, and it's like the biggest gaming convention of the year. So it would seem like, you know, other cities and countries will want to get the show in their country or city, and of course they'll have to put like massive restrictions on stuff like that. But that just all depends on like where we're at that point in time.
And E3, it's not just strictly games, right? Sometimes they'll talk about shows and movies that I guess are based off the characters, right, of video games.
It's usually strictly just video games.
Yeah,
you're talking more about Comic-Con.
Yeah,
Comic-Con has like, you know, comic books, movies, and games.
That one too. Bring that back.
Right, that's one I would have liked to go to, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. Like for the same reason as E3. I mean, you just got to do that because you don't want to be that convention that, you know, that caused an outbreak. Like that anime convention up in New York.
Oh, man, well, New York, man, I don't know, man, that's... but there's just a lot of people. That was the most popular city, I think, in America?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, a big tourist attraction, too, because it's New York City.
Yeah, and yeah, and actually, I just looked it up. Yeah, Comic-Con is still set to return to San Diego July 21st to the 24th. So... well, I mean, hopefully by summer, you know, things get better. I mean, last year, it felt like when the summer came, you know, cases dropped. You know, things were looking back to normal. It just, I guess, once it got cold, I don't know, you know, the flu season, quote unquote. But
yeah, well, we got
the COVID season.
Yeah, we got like the different variants popping out. You got Omicron, you got
Megatron,
Cybertron, you know.
Yeah, where's Optimus when you need him?
Man, let me catch that. Some Megatron action.
I want some Starscream action. That's what I want. There we go. But, I mean, come on. I mean, just... but, you know, I mean, hopefully things will get better and we can get back to, you know, going to these conventions. But, I mean, because the fact that it's like, I know Akon's coming to Dallas in June. I'm hoping I can take my niece to go and we can go meet some voice actors. But I don't know. I don't know how COVID's going to be by then.
And the only thing I guess I miss about E3, like the actual show, is like wondering who's going to have the cringiest host. Because that always happens. Like, it's clearly somebody who's never played a game before, ever, or an actor who's never known anything about gaming. Do the actual, like, show for, like, you know, Ubisoft or, you know, Activision or, like, some other developer.
It's usually Ubisoft that has that person, actually. It's usually Ubisoft. is it Ubisoft or EA that has that cringy, like, hey, guys? It's always someone, like who's relevant but not relevant anymore. Like, hey, guys, it's Ryan Philippe. You're like, who?
Yeah, you're still alive?
Pulse check. He's here. I mean, and they have him, like, do, like, some random game, like, hey, Ryan, what are you here to play? I'm here to play Just Dance. Oh, no, please don't.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to get a celebrity, I mean, at least get somebody who knows what they're talking about, like Jack Black or Vin Diesel even.
Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and end the podcast there. We're going to try to keep our podcast shorter this time, and hopefully I enjoyed that one. And I guess I do want to give a thanks to everybody out there that's been supporting us, and really the increase and I guess the listeners, and I guess everything I've been seeing. If you want to know more about us, check us out on our website, unsunggamers.com. There you can find all of our social media sites, along with our blog posts and articles that we post and talk about, and reviews. Everything you want is there, unsunggamers.com. Thanks. And Nando, take it away.
Well, with that, that'll end our episode of the Unsung Gamers podcast today. I am your host, Shadow Alchemist, a.k.a. Nando, de Vainas y Tomas del Agua.
I'm Buttered Biscuits.
And I'm Phantom Recon, a.k.a. Rico. And as always, we are here to save the world one game at a time. Until next time.
Bye.